I'm Andy Bienstock, host for Jazz and Big Band Music here on WYPR. Federal funding for public radio is under serious threat. An end to that funding would make live streams like this one difficult to keep going. Stand up for public media and help fortify WYPR's future. Tell your member of Congress you support WYPR by visiting protectmypublicmedia.org. Thanks.
Good afternoon and welcome. It's midday. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks for being with us. My first guest today is Dr. John Chisar. He is about to retire after 15 years as the president and CEO of GBMC Healthcare, a nonprofit inpatient and outpatient care provider that employs more than 4,500 people on its Towson campus and in several other locations across our region. A pediatrician by training, Dr. Chisar has held senior positions at healthcare organizations in Massachusetts, New York, and Ohio before taking the reins of GBMC in 2010. And Dr. John Chisar joins me in Studio B. Welcome back. It's good to see you.
It's good to see you, Tom. Thank you for having me.
So you took on the duties of running GBMC in 2010, the year that the ACA, the Affordable Care Act, was passed. Much has transpired since. What's your take on, you know, the state of American healthcare? I talk to physicians and care providers who say it's a mess. I talk to people, you know, who have the ability to get healthcare under the ACA who say it's a godsend. It's somewhere in between, I'm sure.
Yeah, Tom, you know, in reflecting on my years in healthcare, one thing is for sure. The United States has the best trained people, clinicians, and the best support people. They work extremely hard. Nobody keeps calculation on the hours of work. But they work in a system that is way too complex. And we would do better as Americans if we could kind of reflect on what we want our healthcare system to be and to do, because we're still spending 40% more per capita on healthcare than any other country in the world. And our outcomes are not as good as other countries in the world, at least in the area of chronic illness. We are fabulous at acute illness. If I often tell people, if you've been hit by a car, you want to be served in the United States of America. Look at the beauty of our EMS system and shock trauma right here in Baltimore. On the other hand, if you have diabetes, obesity, glaucoma, and many other chronic illnesses, you would statistically be better off in many other countries, France, Germany, the Netherlands, Sweden, Norway. And those countries have all formally stated that healthcare is a right, and we are still acting as if healthcare is a privilege. Look at the sad state of affairs with people literally selling their home to pay for cancer therapy for their loved one. We just have to step back and reflect. It could be so much better if we would truly design a system to meet people's needs and not act as if it's all going to fall in place if we're relying on the private sector. Right now, we have some really hard things going on with private equity coming into the area of like anesthesia. There's people struggling around here to get anesthesia coverage without bankrupting their organization.
You have a perspective that started with your own training. You trained in Italy.
That's right.
For the first part of your medical training. And you've obviously had to keep an eye on what's going on, you know, around the world. Is it the fact that our insurance is largely private here in America? It's employer-based, employment-based for so many people, with the exception of Medicare, Medicaid, et cetera. And we'll talk about that in a second. But is it the privateness of it that makes it so complex? We got private equity companies, you know, running anesthesiology firms, et cetera.
Yeah, I think, Tom, the first issue is it's not designed, because we've never had a true conversation about what it is that we want. So everybody jumps in trying to do their part. There's nothing, you know, there's nothing wrong with private health insurance companies. The problem is we have hundreds of them. And, it, you know, at GBMC, we have a lot of staff just trying to deal with the rules of all these various health insurance companies. I've yet to find a friend, neighbor, loved one who says, thank God I have XYZ, I have insurance from XYZ company. Nobody says that. They may say, thank God Dr. Jones and Nurse Smith really helped me. Thank God.
Or thank God they accept my insurance.
Thank God they accept my insurance. You know, in Canada, they have a single payer system, meaning everybody has the equivalent of Medicare. Now, once you say that at a gathering of intelligent people, somebody is going to yell out socialized medicine. They won't sit still long enough to respond to the question, what does that mean? Because the state in Canada provides very little care. It's all done by the private sector. It's the equivalent of everybody having Medicare. If you go into the same room with people, with some people like me over 65 and say, let's get rid of Medicare, those people are going to say, what are you, crazy? So we, as a society, we really haven't made decisions and we haven't forced our elected officials to deal with those decisions that we haven't made.
Dr. John Chisar is the outgoing CEO and president of GBMC Healthcare. He'll retire at the end of the month. I'm Tom Hall. It's midday. You are welcome to join our conversation about healthcare, about GBMC and its contributions to the local healthcare scene. 410-662-8780, our email midday@wypr.org. So, Dr. Chisar, there's a term of art that's come to be part of the healthcare conversation relatively recently, and that is patient-centered care. It is this kind of newish approach. Was there a time that healthcare wasn't centered on the patient? It seems like a shock to those of us and the lay people outside of the medical profession that care wasn't always centered on the patient.
Yeah, I've been around a long time, Tom, and as a pediatrician, I think pediatricians on average do fairly well trying to be focused on the children and the families. But again, it's a matter of design. If it's truly, think of any provider of any service to you and think of the ones that are the most centered on you as the person being served. Those are all designed. They don't happen by accident, and they can't be relying on hard work and good intentions of individuals. So I know a lot of really hardworking physicians that believe that they are patient-centered, but their systems are really not patient-centered. At GBMC, way back in 2010, shortly after the passage of the Affordable Care Act, our board did an examination of conscience and said, you know, we're a not-for-profit company. Our hospital does very well with the three things it should do. It should be a safe place to deliver babies. It should be a place to do high-end surgery. And it should be a place to rescue people when they're acutely ill. But notice, that's the only three things that a hospital can do. And the board told stories of loved ones with chronic illness being left in the middle, being caught between hospitalization and specialist visit. And what the Affordable Care Act did was it created the notion of accountability. It created entities called accountable care organizations. We don't really have them very well designed in Maryland, but there's a bunch of them fairly well designed in the Midwest. What we did at GBMC was we converted our existing primary care practices into advanced patient-centered medical homes. And the difference is they become more patient-centered. Their hours get extended. when you sign up with us, it's not about a visit. It's about an accountability for your health. If we can keep you healthy with your diabetes without any visits, that's what we want to do. But we want to be there for you. We want to be reaching back out to you to make sure you know what you're supposed to do with your insulin, et cetera. Before 2010, I tell people when I arrived, if you said to me, John, how many diabetics are you caring for? I would have said, oh, a lot. And if you said, how well are you doing? I would have said, oh, pretty well. Today, I know that out of the 80,000 people in our patient-centered medical homes, we have 11 of them, about 6,800 have diabetes, and all but 920 of them or so have their hemoglobin A1Cs in range, telling us that we are doing a good job of keeping them as healthy as we can. Now, the NASH, that's about 13% out of range, so we still have some work to do, but the national average for Medicare is 30% out of range. So we feel very good. And again, back to the central point I'm making, Tom, we didn't do that by wishing or hoping, and we didn't do that by relying on hard work and good intentions of very smart people. We did that by designing a system. We are available weekends, evenings. We have a nurse care manager that works with the physicians and the advanced care practitioners on every single one of those diabetic patients, especially the ones that are still out of range.
Yeah, but you're running a hospital. And it's interesting to me, I think we talked about this the last time you were here. One of the metrics that you use for success of that hospital is not how many beds are full, but how many beds are empty, because they're not, they don't have to be admitted to the hospital yeah. in a crisis situation because their chronic diseases are being managed correctly.
Yeah, we have an excellent small hospital, and we've spent some money to buff it up because most of it was physically built in the 1960s. But I am literally the president of a hospital, but more than that, I am the president of a system of care that is community-based that can take care of you from birth until death. And we display that in a pyramid. At the base of the pyramid is the patient-centered medical home. We're a great place to deliver a baby. And then for your well care and your preventive care, the patient-centered medical home, acute illness, we have specialists, we have surgeons, and then we have the beauty of Gilchrist, a complete elder care company. So when you're now too frail to go to your primary care office, but you're not dying, we provide geriatric care in your home. And then finally, we have hospice. And this is something that the American people need to reflect on, because 75% of Americans say, given the choice, they want to die at home surrounded by their loved ones. But today, 75% of Americans are still dying in the hospital. And with the aging of the population, if everybody just continues the way we are now, there won't be any room in hospitals for people who really need the help.
Dr. John Chisar is the outgoing president and CEO of GBMC Healthcare. It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall. Our number, 410-662-8780. Our email, midday@wipr.org. You've also taken a very strong interest in the rising rates of cancer. Is that related to the aging of the population? I was surprised to learn you've just built a new cancer center. The Berman family was very generous in their support of that, and they've supported other institutions for that same reason. But you say that a lot of community hospitals have chosen to scale back their cancer services. I was surprised about that. Why is that, and why did GBMC seem to buck the trend?
Well, it's an involved answer. Back to your question about the rates of cancer, because of preventive medicine, rates of individual cancers, some of them are going down. Colon cancer, great example. Americans are heeding the call to get screened, and screening saves lives. The flip side of the coin, though, is the population is aging, and the likelihood that an aging person is going to develop cancer is much higher. The immune system starts to fail, and cancers come up. So GBMC's cancer program has been building. Once you get to a certain scale, it's a little bit easier to make it bigger. Our facilities were pretty old, and we got a gift from the Berman family, and then we got a lot of other gifts, and we built a new state-of-the-art cancer center because the community needs it. I think, again, sadly, many decisions of decision makers in healthcare are about the money. And if it looks like it's not an area where you will easily cover your costs, they move away from it. The other thing, Tom, back to what I was saying before, is private equity has gotten involved and has started recruiting doctors away from hospitals. If you don't have to cover a hospital, your life can be simpler if you're any kind of a doctor. So they are recruiting doctors away from sophisticated hospital-based cancer programs.
There is also a nursing shortage, not just in cancer programs, but across hospitals. What's the current status of that? I know during COVID, it became a really acute crisis.
Yes, we burned out a lot of staff during COVID, and we lost a lot of nurses. A positive thing is when there is a shortage, salaries go up. It's a call to the market. More people are going into nursing schools, which is a separate issue. We got to make sure there's the place for them to be trained and there's enough teachers. But now we have a lot of young nurses coming in, and we have reduced our reliance on agency nursing.
The issue of health equity and access continues to be an issue. I mean, it was something that the ACA certainly tried to, you know, to address. How well has it addressed it? Where do you see the status of equity in the system?
So the biggest drag on health equity is the payment system. So GBMC moved back into the city in 2019. We built a advanced primary care office on East Baltimore Street. Interestingly, in helping up Mission Building, that was originally one of the two predecessor hospitals to GBMC, the Presbyterian Ear, Eye, and Throat Hospital. And we did that because we wanted to be a part of the solution. You don't see private practicing doctors opening up offices in poor neighborhoods. Why? Because they can't make it work financially. The system spends way too much money on hospital care and not enough money on primary care and the care of people with chronic illness. If all of your patients are going to be Medicaid patients, the reimbursement is not enough to make it work. If we were smarter, we would fund primary care better, and we would move some of the resources away from acute care into primary care. It's not that we need to spend more money. Remember, I said we're spending 40% more per capita on healthcare than they are in France. It's about redistributing the money. The state of the average number of hospital beds per thousand in the country is 3.4 per thousand inhabitants. In Maryland, it's actually 3. But guess what? In the city of Baltimore, it's 6.1. Now, the city of Baltimore should have more beds because of our two outstanding academic medical centers that attract patients from all over, but not twice as many. Some people believe that our an unnecessary, unwanted byproduct of global budgets for hospitals, which has been very effective in limiting the increase in costs to Medicare. An unfortunate downside of that is if you have a global budget, it props a hospital up that might not be necessary. So one of our policy issues should be, is there a way to close some hospital beds in the city and use the resources, maybe give half of it back to taxpayers, and use the other half to go into the neighborhoods and build primary care centers that could take care of both the waste, but also bring better health equity, because health equity is almost always, when we don't find it, it's because there is lack of access.
And the dichotomy between the needs of urban hospitals and rural hospitals, especially at this moment where the Congress is debating how to do programs like Medicaid and even perhaps even Medicare, making changes there. We've heard all sorts of possibilities. The Senate's now discussing that very thing. There are a lot of people very nervous that if there are significant cuts to Medicaid, cuts that are currently in the House version of the bill, that rural hospitals are going to be out of luck and some are going to close. What's your take on that?
Well, a lot of hospitals will be in deep financial trouble if the Medicaid rolls get cut. Just a word about rural, truly rural hospitals. Again, our public policy makes no sense. We have a rural hospital that was set up by well-meaning people 100 years ago, and now it's failing. But we expect it to act like a hospital in one of the other 49 states where they're going to stay open because they're doing a lot of surgery. That doesn't happen in rural states. We need rural states, rural providers to deliver the care that must be provided locally. And we can do that with global budgets for rural hospitals.
And with fewer people, as we just finish up here, with fewer people on the Medicaid rolls, if some of these ideas that the Republicans in Congress have adduced survive the voting process, will that put extra pressure on, the emergency departments of hospitals like yours?
It absolutely will. It absolutely will, because without any health insurance, people will be left to wait until they're very sick, and then they'll just wander into the emergency department. Absolutely. And it'll be very difficult for all of Maryland's hospitals if the Medicaid rolls get cut.
Dr. John Chisar, he will retire as president and CEO of GBMC Healthcare at the end of the month. Good luck in your retirement.
Thanks.
Appreciate
a lot,
you coming
Tom.
In. Good to talk to you. We'll stay in touch.
Okay.
And up next, a young actor from Baltimore is making her mark in Hollywood. Rachel Hilson is the co-star of a great new show on HBO Max called Duster. She'll join me to talk about it on the other side of a quick break. Stay with us.
You're listening to Midday on 88.1 WIPR, Baltimore's NPR news station.